Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey everyone, it's another week here at the Council of Trent podcast. I am your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And we've got a fun episode for you today. Just a little update on the podcast and how we're doing. We're very close to our original goal. 1 year ago, we sought out to get 500 patrons to support the podcast so that we could reach people and unveil new projects and new features. And because of support, we're almost at 500 patrons. So consider becoming a member to support us to hit that 500 patron goal by the end of the month. In doing so, that's helped us increase the number of episodes we produce. So we do 3 episodes a week. It's currently funding the work we're going to do to bring out people to do debates and dialogues here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'll be doing some of those on Skype with people. But I got a few people lined up, some Protestants, atheists, who we're going to fly out here to 2020 Gillespie to sit down across from me here in the Catholic Answers studio and have a friendly dialogue, friendly debate, and all kinds of subjects for you to learn how to better explain and defend the Catholic faith. And your support is what makes that possible. So do consider becoming a premium subscriber. You get access to great bonus content like our catechism study series, our new-to-be-launched scripture study series as well. And you make all these good things possible for people to hear. So do consider that. Now, to begin off the week, there was a news item over the weekend that caught my interest, and I thought it would be fun to talk about. According to BuzzFeedNews.com, and I don't prefer to get my news from BuzzFeed or anything from BuzzFeed, but they tell us what's buzzing, what's happening, I guess. So, all right. And this seems to be getting around a fair amount. The article says, a mother's letter published in Notre Dame student newspaper urging the university's young women to stop wearing leggings went viral this week, and students organized pro-leggings protests in response. So I thought today we would talk a little bit about this article and about the larger principle of modesty, which is one of the most fiercely debated issues in Catholic circles. I'm telling you this. I would rather be back on a university campus surrounded by a bunch of angry women studies majors yelling at me about abortion than I would be sitting around with some Catholics I know yelling at me about modesty. I mean, I don't fear for my life on university campuses when people yell at me about abortion, but sometimes I worry people will literally rip into me, because when you make a statement about modesty, suddenly you can be the worst person in the world. And you may have heard a few chuckles, chortles, maybe another word to describe. I brought some guests on to help me, because there are many topics I'm willing to broach on this podcast, controversial ones, technical ones, but this one is too scary for me to broach by myself. So I brought help. I brought, first, our assistant producer, Marie Dixon, Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. And a new guest to the Council of Trent podcast and new staff member here at Catholic Answers, our Major Gifts Officer, Christine Venditti. Did you get your title right?
Yes, Christine Venditti, but...
Venditti.
Yes. Great okay. to be here.
That's okay. I'm willing to be corrected by women for the rest of this hour, because when we're talking about modesty, that's probably what's going to happen. And that's great. So Christine Venditti and Marie Dixon here with us to talk about modesty. Well, Christine, we've heard Marie on a previous podcast introduce herself. Christine, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what brought you to Catholic Answers?
Absolutely. I graduated recently from Franciscan University with a degree in marketing, and I knew that I wanted to take my business skills somewhere that I could use them for the greater good. And I heard about this opening at Catholic Answers. I was familiar with the work that is done here, and I thought it'd be a great opportunity to start out. And also, it's in San Diego, so I love beaches and I love being out here. It's been awesome. Everybody's great here.
Yeah, everyone is just really nice here. Like, even when I'm driving on the freeway, I never get people cutting me off.
I never get people
being angry. Because even when you're stuck in traffic, people are like, well, it's really nice out. And so people are just, they're just really laid back. Whereas when I go back east, everyone's like, get out of my way. I have to get somewhere quickly, even though it's Saturday morning.
Driving Pittsburgh, New Jersey, anything like that.
I remember driving to Pittsburgh from Steubenville. I once stayed at Franciscan University for 6 weeks to complete my master's in theology. And so I remember making the drive to Pittsburgh because I couldn't afford to stay on campus. What's the name of that neighborhood of ill repute right by Steubenville? Bellevue. Oh, Bellevue.
Yep,
that's where I stayed because that's all I could afford. So I stayed in a house. I rented an upper room. Actually, they gave me the whole second floor, and it was dirt cheap. I didn't have to pay anything for it, hardly anything. And you want to know why? because 10 years earlier, some students had been murdered there.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, technically speaking, they weren't murdered there. They were abducted from there and then murdered at a second location.
Wonderful.
Which, by the way, ladies, if you ever find yourselves abducted by someone, never let them take you to a second location.
Oh.
Fight tooth and nail. I don't care what you have to do.
We're nodding at each other. Yes.
I have mace on my keychain. I'm prepared for these situations.
Right. Never let them take you to second location. So that would be what my overprotective mother would chime in and say, and I will happily chime in and say as well. So I'm familiar with all that and everything back east, and that's, of course, another story for another time to share with people. So let's get into the topic for today. I want to read to you a little bit of this editorial. I remember reading online, Father Dan Horan has a Twitter page, and he commented on this, and he said it's an example of internalized misogyny, he's never met too many people that he wasn't want to say is racist or misogynist or what have you, but some people have reacted really angrily to this editorial, so I want to read a little bit of it to you and see what you think. This is what Marianne White, this is what she writes in the Notre Dame newspaper. I thought about writing this letter for a long time. I waited, hoping that fashions would change and such a letter would be unnecessary. But that doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. I'm just a Catholic mother of four sons with a problem that only girls can solve. Leggings. The emergence of leggings as pants some years ago baffled me. They're such an unforgiving garment. Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape. I was at Mass at the Basilica with my family. In front of us was a group of young women all wearing very snug-fitting leggings and all wearing short-waisted tops so that the lower body was uncovered except for the leggings. Some of them truly looked as though the leggings had been painted on them. A world in which women continue to be depicted as babes by movies, video games, music videos makes it hard on Catholic mothers to teach their sons that women are someone's daughters and sisters, that women should be viewed first as people, and all people should be considered with respect. She goes on to say, I've heard women say that they like leggings because they're comfortable, so are pajamas, so is nakedness, and the human body is a beautiful thing, but we don't go around naked because we respect ourselves. Leggings are so naked, and these are the excerpts, not the whole thing, so form-fitting, so exposing. Could you think of the mothers of sons the next time you go shopping and consider choosing jeans instead? Let Notre Dame girls be the first to turn their backsides on leggings. You have every right to wear them, but you have every right to choose not to. Thanks for listening to the lecture. Catholic moms are good at those. Marianne White. That's my favorite line of the whole piece, just
Catholic
right
moms
here.
Are good.
So what say you? What are your feelings hearing parts of this letter?
My immediate thought is that just 2 weeks ago, I was driving with one of my guy friends to go hang out with some friends, and I don't know how it came up, but we saw a guy walking on the side of the road wearing less than appropriate clothing, and I said, I really dislike when people sag their pants and show their underwear. And he said, I really dislike when girls wear leggings because I can see everything. Mm-hmm. I have leggings myself. I have probably 5 pairs of them, some for exercising and some that are meant to like go underneath dresses or things like that. But I have to say, especially Mass is not the place to be wearing leggings.
Just pure leggings are not covered by anything.
And I wouldn't be comfortable with men wearing leggings that were as tight as the leggings that women wear either. Like, I've seen men wear leggings in San Diego, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Wait, there are men? Because I would not feel comfortable in general wearing something that tight.
It exists, and it shows everything, and it's terrible. Like,
now here's, nobody... Okay, so here's the thing, and then, Christine, I want to get your thoughts on this letter, whether it grossly offends you or not. There's a difference. What's funny is it's the difference there. So when you see a man in leggings, it's more a sense of... revulsion.
Whereas
with a concern with men, it's like, that is something I have a desire to see, but I would prefer to not see and engage in that desire at this moment.
Sure.
And so I think one of the biggest objections here, whenever someone says women shouldn't wear fashion X, the objection is, well, men should just control themselves. I should be able to wear what I want. It's their fault if they're having bad thoughts about it. So, Christine, what do you think?
Yeah, so the topic of modesty is such an interesting one because you can find people who have, let's say, two different Catholic moms, both have a bunch of sons, daughters, whatever, and maybe they're both daily mass goers, and they can have two completely different views of what is appropriate, what is not appropriate to be worn. I think my initial reaction to reading this article was the lack of consideration for the women, because you don't know the women that she's talking about in this situation. They're in mass, they're wearing leggings. Objectively, I agree. I don't think leggings should be worn to mass, but you don't know the situation coming from behind. Maybe these women weren't planning on going to mass. They thought about it halfway through the day. That's what they were wearing. Should you worry like, oh, I shouldn't go to mass because I'm wearing leggings and I don't want people to judge me in mass? Is that, if you, when you start having articles like this where they're just so inconsiderate of the people, you're taking away the dignity of the person. And, you know, objectively, the situation might not have been what this Marianne wanted, but in her approach, she's not looking at the women as what she wants her son to look like. She's not respecting them the way that she's looking for her sons to respect them.
Well, there's a principle that I believe in, especially when it comes to giving talks on chastity and modesty when I go out. Like, I hate going... I'm not a chastity speaker by any means. I'm not someone who can go out there and get people to cry and sign a virginity card or whatever. And I'm not dogging chastity speakers. There are people who are great to motivate people to live the church's teachings on sexuality. I take more of a low-key approach, but I believe in speaking about those issues. I don't want to go out and say, you should be chaste because if you go out and have sex, you will get an STD, get pregnant, and die. You know, I'm not... I believe more in what's called appealing to one's nobility, appealing to a person's nobility, to say you ought to live this way because you are a very good person, strong person, virtuous, courageous person, and this will benefit you well to live this way. And it's becoming of the positive moral character and the positive image that is you. So I think that's right to say, you know, hey, to say these women were there at Mass. I am glad these young women are at Mass because many young people don't feel the need to go to Mass. So I'm grateful for that. And yes, you'd acknowledge maybe they just walked in, it's on campus, you know, we might as well go. But then to add the caveat, but it would be nice to consider in the future or to think that some people have this erroneous view about the human body, especially the female body. And I think that a lot of times when it comes to when people talk about modesty, it's you're not as charitable towards other people. I think that in many cases, especially among Catholic women, where there's incidents of immodesty, the motivation, at least especially among Catholic women who go to Mass, the motivation is not, I want to be sexy. It's, I want to be cute, I want to be comfortable, and I don't understand what this kind of dress, what kind of effect it has on guys. And so that's like, for me, the most charitable interpretation, that it's out of ignorance more than malice. What do you think?
Well, and I would agree. And I would say also, in response to what Christine said, I've been in that situation where I was on a run somewhere, or I was, you know, on a hike, and then we decided to go to Mass. And I did decide to go, and I was wearing running leggings. But, you know, we can think this through. If Mass is something that happens in our lives, yeah, sure, maybe one time you end up there and you don't have anything, but I always have like a jacket in my car, something that I can tie around my waist at least, so that the people who are standing behind me are focused on what's happening and maybe not the fact that like my pants are really tight or whatever it is. I do, though, like what you said about, like, you know, it's not a no on leggings completely, or it's not a no on, you know, on this item because men can't control themselves.
Right.
I'm distracted by people who dress really immodestly too. Like, I find it difficult to focus if somebody's like wearing something very revealing.
Well, like, you wouldn't want to be at Mass and the guy sitting in front of you, his waistline of his pants is down around his lower buttocks.
Exactly.
Like, even if a guy was doing that, it's like, come on, man, we're at Mass. Like, I'm having a hard time focusing.
So I think that kind of goes both ways. But I definitely agree with you about women doing it more out of ignorance. And I think the way that you wear clothing and the attitude with which that you wear it does matter as well. Because I can guarantee you that, like, if I go running in my running leggings, my goal is not to, like, have people staring at me or, like, catch somebody's attention. They're the most comfortable.
Right.
They're what is sold everywhere as running pants. There's pretty much no other option. And so, you know, I think the intention behind what you're wearing matters, too. But, like, just be aware of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in her letter, she said, you know, these women were wearing very snugly fitting leggings with short crop tops, it sounds like, so that you can see everything. And it's like, okay, think about what you're attracting when you wear more revealing clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what you want. Maybe that's why these ladies are upset, because they want that kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's their choice. Like, they can dress that way if they want.
But that goes
kind
back
of attention.
To appealing to one's nobility to say,
yes,
you should not have to dress this way for attention from virtuous individuals. It's great to be attractive, to be cute. In fact, so Layla Milner and I wrote 3 chapters on modesty in our book Made This Way. This is the toughest chapters to write in the book, even more than homosexuality, even more than transgender. And in fact, we don't have in here any specific wear this, wear that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to get your guys' thoughts on that later on. That's not what I want. I'm not prepared to wade into that in any way, shape, or form, except for the most purely obvious examples. But what we want to talk about is more principles. So I like what the Catechism says. The Catechism says this about modesty in paragraph 2521 and 2522. Modesty protects the intimate center of the person. It means refusing to unveil what should remain hidden. It is ordered to chastity, to whose sensitivity it bears witness. It guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity. Modesty is decency. It inspires one's choice of clothing. It keeps silence or reserve where there is evident risk of unhealthy curiosity. It is discreet. So a lot of it, when it comes to modesty, it includes our speech and our actions too.
Mm-hmm.
That a like, if you think of a modest person, someone who's all just like, oh, last year I went and I hiked K2. I mean, K2 is way better than Everest. Everybody does Everest. You got $1,000. You can get a Sherpa to carry your gear up to Everest. But when I did K2, nobody does K2. We say, oh, you're very modest. You know,
yeah.
When you're unduly drawn. See, that's to be an example where a guy could do it.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at, mm-hmm. is that the intention behind it. Like,
right.
I guarantee Christine and I are, like, never walking around thinking, everybody look at me or whatever. You know, modesty does include your intentions behind what you're wearing or just about how you're behaving.
Do you agree?
I was going to say, I think that modesty of conduct is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen girls who are dressed very appropriately, acting in ways that are very attention-grabbing, that are definitely oriented towards getting inappropriate attention from guys, regardless of whether they're in a maxi skirt or jeans or whatever.
The bend and snap.
Yeah, the bend and snap.
I remember Elle Woods teaching that in the Legally Blonde. See, no, if you want to get their attention, you have to
bend and snap.
Yeah, so you're right that there is an old saying that you could have a nun and a prostitute switch clothes, and the nun could carry herself modestly, and the prostitute would still find a way to be sexy in a nun's habit. So I think that there's... Now, I don't think that's just an example. I don't think that's literally true. I do believe the choice of clothing does help or hinder, but intent does factor into it.
Yeah, and the intention... I mean, if you're going to be acting in those ways, it kind of goes along hand in hand with, if you want the attention, you're going to dress like you want the attention, and so forth. So that is... That is most common, but I mean, you do find both ways. Also, the part in the Catechism that you just read,
mm-hmm.
about modesty, looking at others in a way. Can you read that again?
Oh, sure. So it guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity.
Okay. So that, I mean, I think when people are entering into the modesty debate, a lot of times... the person who is critiquing doesn't necessarily uphold kind of what I was saying earlier, the view of looking at who they're critiquing for their dignity, and can come off to be so judgmental that what they're trying to convey is completely lost. The dignity of the person is just not coming across. And so like you were saying earlier, be grateful that those women were in mass.
Right.
If they're truly seeking God and they're seeking his love and his truth, they're going to be convicted eventually of their own worth, their own dignity, even if they're not in the moment. And so I think the best approach, as with pretty much everything, is just the love approach, where you see somebody and instead of just coming at them and attacking them, and as you can see, this article triggered a very, very, a very strong response in a lot of people who just wanted to protest immediately because they felt so attacked. Rather than coming at it that way, come at it as more of an explanation, because like you said, it's a lot more a matter of ignorance on the woman's part than a matter of, I want to assert my right to dress this way because I want to distract people and you can't tell me how to dress.
Right. And so I think that when we do that in trying to explain the church's teaching on modesty, we should affirm positively the human body is good. Sexuality is good.
And God beautiful.
It's beautiful. God made this for us. And so I think especially when it comes to women, because I think this more deals with women's dress than men's dress. Even when men are immodest, it's more funny or weird or like, but that's because men
because
and women
we're different.
Men and women they're wired differently.
Yeah.
And so especially people when it comes to modesty, and there's not really an intent here, but still I think the primary thing is there's two mistaken ways of approaching this. One would be focusing that it's solely the problem here is men's thoughts and women are not helping men with their thoughts and just focusing on the men and not the women and their intrinsic dignity. The other mistake, I think, though, is forgetting about what immodest dress does to men. Like the whole point is, it's a plea. And I think this mother was trying to get that out there. Please just help men. As Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, we bear one another's burdens.
Yeah.
That women just really don't understand what it's like to be a guy and be visually oriented and to have testosterone. Testosterone is a crazy powerful hormone.
Sure.
For example, women have a little bit of testosterone in their systems. They have about 0.5 to 2.5 nanomoles of testosterone per liter of blood. Men can have anywhere from 10 to 30 nanomoles. Can have as many as 10 times as much. And so I remember I was reading an article about transgender identity, about a woman who wanted to become a man. So she started taking testosterone supplements because she wanted to say, I'm really a man.
Yeah.
And she started taking this stuff. And she said, in her testimony, she said, after I took the testosterone, now she's got 10 times as much in her body.
Sure.
She said, I felt like a monster. She said, I could not stop thinking about sex. I could not stop thinking about sexual thoughts. I felt like a monster inside, that these thoughts were invading me. And I said, well, welcome to the struggle we have every day from the natural amount of... Now, testosterone is a good thing. It's what allows us to have muscle mass, allows us to lift heavy things and run into burning buildings.
Protects women.
Why can't women be firefighters too? Women can be firefighters if they can if they can pass the same physical test as men, I have no problem. But the fact is, men and women are different. And people who just don't accept that, you don't accept reality. I'm sorry. What's weird to me is people will be mad, there's not enough female firefighters. Well, why is anyone saying there's not enough male kindergarten teachers? You know, it's we have these differences. So men are just wired in that visual way. So I guess the plea from men is just simply, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you could help a brother out, it would be appreciated.
Yeah. I have to say that in my own family, when I was growing up, I really only heard about modesty from my mom, which I think was a really good decision on my parents' part, because from her, it made a lot more sense to me. But one time in high school, my mom had my dad talk to me about it because I played volleyball and we wore really, really short shorts. That was just a uniform, which couldn't be avoided. But what he was talking to me about was not wearing the shorts outside of playing the sport.
Right, because there's context. I mean, you have to wear, if you're on the swim team, you're going to wear a swimsuit, but you don't have to be wearing something like a swimsuit when you're just out in public.
Right. Yeah. But it was really helpful hearing from my mom that the reason why she wanted me to not dress a certain way, like she wanted me to have my own style that I wanted to have, but to cover certain parts of my body was because she wanted, she wanted me to respect my worth. And that was really helpful. And I don't think every mom expresses that to their daughters.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a mom, and she tells her children, her daughter, to guard your mystery. This is, your body is a beautiful mystery to unveil to others. And if it's something you just unveil without abandon or you don't care, then it treats it with less specialness than it deserves. And so I think you're right to have that approach. And then to also say that the body, our body speaks a natural language. I think what's hard is people think that it comes to sexuality. Oh, sex is something I decide if this situation is sexual or if that situation is sexual. I just get to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wear this outfit, you know, exercising, it's not sexual in any way, shape, or form. But if I wear the same thing in the bedroom, well, I decide it's a sexual encounter. That's its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the body has an objective meaning to it that you just can't change.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way what we reveal will send these certain kinds of messages. So
right.
So I think that having both of those there are helpful. And it's just unfortunate. I think when this issue comes up, people think, oh, we're always ganging up on women. I think we can say, look, it's not either or. It's not like women just have to focus on what they wear. The line is, don't tell me what to wear. Tell the boys not to stare. Well, it's not either or here.
Okay? It's not that black and white.
It's like, look, men should respect women no matter how they dress. But women should also respect men and be helpful to them in guarding the mystery of who they are. I've tried to think of some analogies for women to, you know, to understand when this argument comes to, like, well, that only involves them, not me. So, for example, a lot of women, and rightfully so, will take affront at leering. So when a guy is just staring at you,
mm-hmm.
especially at your you know, private parts, you know, you feel uncomfortable. It's weird. You don't like that.
Yeah.
But imagine if he said, it is a free country. Don't tell me where I can look. If it makes you uncomfortable, that's your problem. Be like, well, no, you should be respecting me. Now, it's hard with these analogies. I'm not saying leering is on par with being immodest. A lot of times leering has a very definite objectifying intent to it.
Mm-hmm.
That can be malicious in some cases. But this idea that, well, I should be able to do what I want and not care about others. If I make them uncomfortable, that's their problem. Sometimes it is, but sometimes what we're doing, we should reexamine our actions if it makes others uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah. And I can say I've been really lucky with having just some solid male friends in my life. And it goes both ways so much. And I think it plays off of each other, which just really is, you know, the masculine feminine complement, where I'll have guy friends who truly, you know, I know they have certain stances towards modesty, but the ones who are just the most exemplary to me are the ones who can look at a girl who is maybe not dressed the way that they would prefer them to be and still look at them in the eyes and really just give them the attention that they would give to the girl who is dressed in
right.
the same modest way.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that always inspires me to dress more modestly to make it easier for them. But it's but if I saw a guy treat a girl, you know, inappropriately, very objectifying because of the way she's dressed,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to make me want to dress modestly to help them. It's going to make me want to dress modestly to protect myself from them,
right.
which is not the
Right.
Which is not why you want to.
And then some people with low self-esteem might say, oh, well, they're getting all this attention and all these Facebook likes
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I just want – some people crave affection and attention and love so much they'll take any counterfeit
Which
that's
is
offered
so
to them that looks enough like it.
People are definitely lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's put it out here then as we come to a close. I guess mm-hmm. two practical applications to this for help. One would be – how to approach someone who dresses immodestly, especially someone who's Catholic, who's a woman. And I think primarily the problem here of being an object of scandal for others, I think men too, you could say in action and speech, but I think people listening, the hardest one is, it's easy to tell a guy, tone it down a little what you're talking about.
Sure.
But with women, you don't want to end up on BuzzFeed, you know, with dress.
Yeah.
Although to ask this though, I've asked this to other people, I think it's really rare when a man's dress would lead a woman into temptations for lust. I mean,
in the Middle Ages, men weren't allowed to wear tight pants just for that very reason.
Oh,
it was immodest for them to wear those very thin tight pants, and it was different. But that was a different time.
So part of it is it's culturally conditioned. It is going to change, but that doesn't mean there aren't timeless truths here.
Right.
So I mean, I think I don't know. Does it, maybe some guys whose backs look like the Rocky Mountains, like, okay, you should shirt it up. So my wife and I will be out and I'll see a guy running with his shirt off. I'm like, hey, shirt it up already, buddy. Me, if I take my shirt off at the beach and I lay down, it's like, oh no, some beluga whale has stranded himself on the beach and we got to save him. Like, no, it's just my farmer's tan.
Resuscitate him.
I'm okay. I'm all right. Do you think it's mostly that... Not as much with men, more so with happens with women.
I agree with that. Okay.
How do you say that to women? Some people have said to me, Trent, you should tell a woman that because women will think we're being...
No.
Right. They've told me, Trent, if a woman tells her, she'll think we're being naggy, but they'll respect you as a man caring about her dignity. And I say, no, she'll just think I'm creepy.
Yes.
I cannot do it.
I think there's nothing to be said. There is nothing to be said, especially
really?
If you see a stranger
right.
at mass. There is nothing to be said to that person.
Because you haven't built that relationship.
I completely agree.
You need to be Christian towards this person. So, ladies, your responsibility is to set a standard by dressing yourself in a way that gives dignity to men and to yourself and other women. Be a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, be beautiful, wear clothes that are flattering and, figure flattering and the colors that you like and the patterns that you like and be unique, but do it in a classy way, set the standard. And then men, do your best to be respectful and to keep your mind focused on what it should be focused on and interact respectfully with women, like all types of women that you meet.
Do you think though, and I would agree with you, especially if you've just met someone like out of the blue. Mm-hmm. If it's a sensitive subject, you haven't built that relationship yet. But do you think there's something you can say? Let's say it's like one of your siblings or a closer friend.
Yeah. You would
it's
say
totally
something.
Right. So once you've built that relationship, then maybe like appealing to their nobility, trying.
Yeah. When you have the relationship, when you have a true relationship with someone that's oriented towards their good, it's going to, first of all, it's going to come across more positively because you have that established relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, they're going to know that you're talking to them for their good.
Right.
If Absolutely. It's a stranger, you just feel judged immediately. And you're not,
right.
it's not coming from a place where you're able to receive, unless you're very, 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 very humble, where you're able to receive criticism from a stranger about the way that you're dressing in a way that's going to mm-hmm. be beneficial to you. But mm-hmm. if you have the relationship with your siblings or a close friend and they're just not thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
absolutely talk to them, but do it in a way that explains and does not attack them as a person and saying, oh, your intention in wearing this was bad.
Yeah,
because
you may not have understood.
Yeah, you can't.
It's the way guys think and the way that we dress can help them and just the way to respect ourselves and the dignity of who mm-hmm. who we are.
And yeah. always reinforce their beauty.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And I think most of the people that we're close with in our lives, like, for example, if I were to say something to my sister, she already knows better, but maybe she forgets and she thinks, oh, this outfit's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I, it might just take you saying, that's really short for mass, or that's really low cut for mass, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then her saying, oh, you're right, I need to put a sweater over it. Or, oh, you're right, I should put leggings underneath this. You know, it's like, help your sisters out, help your friends out.
Right, we're building one another up. I'll leave with this one last anecdote. The only time I've seen where a guy can just bluntly talk about immodesty, when I was in Israel several years ago, I was waiting to enter into Jesus's tomb in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So, mm-hmm. the holiest place in the world that you can be. And there was this Eastern Orthodox priest standing guard outside, letting us all come in. And this woman comes in with incredibly high shorts. So the very, very short shorts about mm-hmm. to go in Jesus's tomb. And the priest says, he starts speaking to her in Eastern language, I think like Russian or something like that. And she doesn't understand him. She's like, what's wrong with him? What's he mm-hmm. talking about? And then he takes a skirt off the wall. They have several just wraps mm-hmm. you can wear. He takes the wrap off the wall and he goes, Jesu, clothes for Jesu.
Aww.
So I'm like, I said, this is Jesus's tomb. People are supposed to be modestly dressed. This is a very, very holy place to be. So I think that there's always... I think what makes this issue hard is that we agree on the teachings, we agree on the dignity of the person, It's all about the application and making sure you're just using the most sensitive words and reaching people where they're at. And I think you guys have given people a lot of great food for thought on this subject. So thank you guys for being on the Council of Trent podcast.
Thank you for having us.
And don't forget to check out trenthornpodcast.com. We actually have a special bonus interview with Marie and Christine on practical tips for what you can wear to be beautiful and modest. So if you're a premium subscriber, do check that out at trenthornpodcast.com. And I hope everyone else that you have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.